Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, October 29th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang. In the fringes of the LA County area.
The fringes. I like that show.
So much effort to describe where Roger is because he's so secretive.
About he is secretive.
Lurking location. Hey, we're going to talk about, of course, the big news, the Red Hat merger. We're also going to discuss the idea of subscribing to your apps instead of buying them from an app store. But let's start with a few other tech things you should know.
Walmart is testing an automated store called Sam's Club Now in Dallas, Texas. The company will use it to try out new technology. A scan and go app lets customers scan items that they put in their cart and then pay for them on their phone. An app will also use machine learning to help create shopping lists and map out the best route throughout the store.
I was just talking about that yesterday. Microsoft is adding sandbox mode to its Windows Defender antivirus software. The mode keeps the program isolated from the rest of the software running on a computer, reducing the chance of damage spreading.
Yeah, just like Chrome. The UK's EasyJet airline said it is moving to the next step of engine development for an electric passenger jet aimed to be used on 500-kilometer routes by 2027. EasyJet is developing the aircraft along with Wright Electric, which will test the engine in a 9-seat plane next year. It's already successfully tested it on a 2-seat plane. Boeing-backed Sunim and Siemens also developing electric motors for aircraft. Saves on fuel, emits less carbon, theoretically. So there you go. Check it out.
Hope it's safe.
All right, let's talk a little more about that big old merger acquisition, whatever you call it.
What, something big happened? Oh, okay. I'll just read this. IBM has agreed to acquire Red Hat for $34 billion. One of the largest tech acquisitions in U.S. history. IBM intends to make Red Hat a unit in its hybrid cloud business. The deal is subject to regulatory approval and Red Hat shareholder approval, and is expected to close as early as the second half of next year. So I guess, not to be cynical here, I knew IBM has been working in the background for years. Didn't know they had $34 billion in cash just kind of hanging around. That server business is doing quite well.
Servers are
quite well there.
IBM's big business is cloud. Right. They are the third largest cloud provider, but they are huge in the larger enterprises.
Weren't they first?
Well, at one point, yeah, I think they probably were. But it's now you got Microsoft Azure, you got Amazon Web Services out there, and IBM wants to move back, well, not back, but they want to expand that marketplace. So Red Hat is going to be their sales juicer. It's going to inject some sales love into this by providing an open platform that fits in well with IBM's existing open platform that is trusted and is a big business. A lot of people see this different ways. I've seen people say this is exactly what IBM needs. It gets the sales injection from Red Hat that it needs to expand its cloud business at a time when it needs to expand its cloud business. I've seen other people say Red Hat's on the decline. This ain't going to save it. Two rats on a sinking ship doesn't make the ship go back up. It's not exactly
is
what
IBM
I said.
Is IBM sinking?
I mean, IBM's listing. It's not sinking. But yeah, it's, you know, it is not have the rosiest of earnings reports all the time. It's not in, you know, disaster mode or anything. But if it wants to keep growing, it has to do something big. And this is something big.
Yeah, I was just watching them on CNBC today. Actually, last week, just looking at their stock. And they're doing pretty well for a name that I just haven't really heard or thought of for some years. So yeah, this, you know, this sent the stock rising up considerably, and you know, I wish the best for them. I don't understand really what Red Hat did beyond. I know it's Linux. Either one of you want to just in case someone doesn't know, just kind of explain what they do.
Red Hat is the poster child for how to make money off an open source platform, right? So okay. Red Hat Linux is an open source operating system that anybody can download for free and use. But what you want is the service level agreement. What you want is the support staff that says, "Hey, you're running this on your servers. You're running this in your enterprise, we'll make sure that it's running well. We'll provide the service and support that you need to make sure that you have everything you need to keep it running. We'll provide regular patches and updates to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." So they sell those kind of contracts, which is similar to why Microsoft has moved Windows 10 to be free to consumers, but they still sell licenses to the enterprise because those licenses include the ability to push out regular updates, provide sales and support or support directly. So that's essentially what they're doing. And you don't recognize it as well as Windows because there's no consumer version of Red Hat similar to a Windows 10 for your desktop.
Right. Thank you. That was great.
Yeah, sure. I hope that's right.
OnePlus announced the OnePlus 6T phone coming to the U.S. on T-Mobile also will be compatible with Verizon. The 6.41-inch phone comes with a Snapdragon 845 chipset and in-screen fingerprint sensor. Won't have a headphone jack and will not include USB-C headphones in the box anyway. The OnePlus 6T will be available from November 1st, starting at $549.
Yes, I'll be getting my hand on this week. They confirmed they're gonna send it to me. I guess I'm most interested in that in-screen fingerprint scanner. I've never played with a phone that has that. You know, but the price looks great, doesn't it? I mean, $549, dual cameras, that kind of newer technology in it. The one of the latest chipsets that's being used. I mean, for an Android phone, looks great. One tweet I saw said, "You mix this and the Pixel's cameras." And if you were to combine that, if like a Google bought them, it'd be like the perfect Android phone. I don't know if you all agree with that. But yeah.
No headphone jack, no USB-C input. Lamar,
It has a USB-C input, just yeah, no USB headphones in the box. You have to bring your own.
Yeah, right. They don't put them in a box. Headphones, though, I'm Bluetooth now. I've been Bluetooth for the last couple of years. I'm not dismissing people who have strong feelings about that. It's just not my use case anymore.
And, you know, this is not the highest level phone you can get, but it's also $549. I mean, OnePlus has built their name on saying we're making high-end phones, but we make them at a price you can afford, $400, $500, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This is really not that much of an improvement on the OnePlus 6. It provides that under-screen fingerprint sensor, which is nifty, and it gets rid of the headphone jack, which is not nifty, you know, and a couple other tweaks here and there. You know, the camera's nice. I think with the sort of receding essential, coming out with another phone, this one takes over, in my mind, the sort of best Android phone you can get for the money. But forget the Android phone, best phone you can get for the money, probably. We'll see what the reviews are with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of phones, let's compare this to another phone that's out today that is much more expensive. In fact, it is about twice as expensive as the OnePlus 6T. Mm-hmm. Verizon and AT&T will begin selling the Red Hydrogen 1 phone for $1,295 starting November 2nd. This is the one that has a holographic screen. And then, of course, the proprietary ability to record 3D video that can be played back on the holographic screen. Verge is not impressed. They've been playing with it for a couple weeks and says, in the Verge's words, does not live up to the hype. So, you know, maybe it's a victim of never buy first generation technology and it'll get better. I don't know that just having a holographic screen, even if it lived up to the hype, would be enough for me to want to spend this much money on an otherwise okay phone. I mean, it's just got regular top end phone specs. It's not an improvement on the iPhone X or the S10 from Samsung.
Yeah, I mean, it's an older chipset. It doesn't have well reading.
Right. It's
doesn't
have, it's not waterproof. It's not even the 846. It doesn't have dust-proof. Right.
It was delayed. The cameras are okay. Like I'm just wondering, like, how to justify that price. It was said the 3D is not more impressive than the 3DS, the Nintendo 3DS that came out years ago. So I wonder who except the tech heads are really going to be interested in this phone. I don't think it's going to sell well.
And it's not so much the price. The price is high.
The price, yeah.
But the S10.
The price is high, but I mean, it's, you know, the S10 and the XS for my latest iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Those are exactly. High too now. So you're not... I would compare it to the Galaxy S10 and the iPhone XS, and it doesn't compare very well, even if the holographic screen is crazy cool. You're just not getting as much for your money, I don't think.
Well, especially if you've got a holographic screen and you have the ability to record video and then play back in a really cool way on that screen, you end up being like, hey, Lamar, look at this on my phone. Look what it can do.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a party trick.
Well, what's disappointing is that the camera quality is just okay.
Yeah.
And it's red. You know, this is a company that's made its name in digital cinematography. This is the we were the first to come out with a 4K, you know, camera and a whole workflow, and this is your phone.
that's an excellent point.
If they had come out with this a year ago, it would compare more favorably to the S9 and the iPhone X. But a year-old processor and a phone that's selling for $1,300? I don't think so.
Well, maybe you'll like this next one, Tom. Researchers at MIT built a software program called BeeMe, that's B-E-E-M-E, that lets people suggest actions for a hired actor to perform and then vote on which action that actor should take next. So it reminded me of Subservient Chicken, but actually real. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern time on Halloween, that's tomorrow, the internet can help a human player in his or her quest to defeat an evil AI, as it's described. When the social experiment begins, the audience will be able to hear and see what the actor experiences, but won't be able to make the actor perform any commands that might endanger dignity or privacy or well-being. The experiment is not unlike Twitch Plays Pokemon. You might remember that was a viral experiment back from 2014, which holds the Guinness World Record for having the most participants. That's 1,165,140 players in a single player online video game. So there is something to the hive mind telling somebody what to do and what to do next. Is anyone going to participate in this tomorrow?
I might. I don't know.
I might. I mean, I'm not going out for Halloween, so might be my Halloween party.
I think the thing I like about this the best is the MIT folks working on this are saying we're doing this to see how the audience uses it. This isn't a publicity stunt like Subservient Chicken. This isn't just a fun thing, you know, that we're throwing up on Twitch. They're actually studying, like, how does the internet coalesce around this sort of thing? Which people stick around even though their choices aren't always used because it's a hive mind? Which people, you know, go in for a couple of times and then get bored and wander off? It's a really interesting study of internet behavior that I think is important more now than ever when we're attributing all kinds of effects on the real world to internet behavior without doing enough to understand what causes internet behavior.
I think the fact that this, at least for this particular experiment tomorrow, is a human actor. This is a person who's going to be, you know, again, within reason, going off what the internet is telling. The article called it a him, so perhaps there's already a male actor that's
the video,
hired for this.
The promo video shows a male as well, I think.
Okay, so yeah, we'll call it a him. That's interesting. Okay. But I think that, you know, it points to, again, this is actual real research. Would this be a human in the future? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's a robot. Maybe it's an AI type of a situation. But yes, does the greater internet have the best interest in mind for this particular actor, whether it's human or not, to defeat whatever game they're playing? I don't know. I'm going to have to see it in action, but I'll definitely be checking in.
It is cool. Yeah, go ahead, Lamar.
I was going to say real quick, years ago in Revision 3, this was done with a human, and it was a YouTuber who kind of had the crowd or the audience control their life, and it didn't go well. This type of thing, has been around. I'm interested that it's going to be in digital form at this point to see. Yeah, just like Sarah said, how are people going to treat this man tomorrow? Well, is it going to be disaster or is it going to be cool?
Also, the MIT researchers are saying you can nominate whatever you want it to do. But we will put some barriers to say, like, you can't cause himself, he can't be doing anything undignified or cause himself or others harm, stuff like that. So, there's some, mm-hmm. there's some reasonable guardrails on it to keep it interesting.
All right. Speaking of interesting, that segue was great. Sony announced 20 games that will ship on a miniaturized PlayStation Classic when it goes on sale December 3rd for $99.99. Something popped up there. The list varies by region. The U.S. version now adds Grand Theft Auto, Metal Gear Solid, Rayman and Rainbow Six, though no Crash Bandicoot or Tomb Raider games. The Japan version will come with Parasite Eve and Saga Frontier. So, I looked at the full list and, obviously there's no Spyro, which a lot of people wanted, but they're coming out with the refresh trilogy. I can see why Activision kind of held that back. Mm. I mean, it is what it is. I know some people are not happy about the list, but I just think with the different rights and things going on, this is probably the best they could do for because everybody's doing these remasters now. So,
wouldn't you want it on there to get people who are buying the people who buy this kind of thing are the most excited gamers? Wouldn't you want them to get excited about your old title again so they'd be more willing to buy the new stuff?
If I was a developer, I would, but maybe they feel like that threat is going to threaten the new game that's going to come out. They won't want to buy the new one if they.
I just don't think it threatens it. Like
I don't think it does either.
I think it encourages it.
Yeah. Are you all any PS1 gamers?
I used to be. My PS3. So this is the one thing that bugs me, and this bugs me with all these, nostalgic. Like, we're gonna package all the old games you love into a little, version of the thing that you played as a kid or when you were younger. Is that a lot of these games were available on the PS3 because PS3 supported PS1 backward compatibility. You just buy it online. You pay like mm-hmm. $5 and you would get the game. I guess people want the little,
You guess. Thing. You've seen how crazy people get against these mini consoles.
It's an emulated system.
You can rail
system,
against so. Them being excited, but it doesn't change the fact that people go crazy for this stuff.
I don't understand it.
You know what it is? When Nintendo started this, with the NES, it's a collectible. Like, mine sits on a mm-hmm. shelf. Like, only if people come over and they're like, "Ooh, what's that? Do we play it?" But it's a collectible that you can say, "Hey, I have this miniature thing that has 20 games on it. This one comes with two controllers." People spend money on worse stuff. Yeah, it probably won't get used more than a few times, but I think it's cool.
It's the same reason people buy candy in the shape of other food, even though it doesn't taste anything like that food. Because they're like, "Oh, look, cool. It's a cute little thing that's kind of like the real thing." Like, there's something fascinating about that.
Candied cigarette.
I ate sour gummies in the form of octopuses over the weekend. So that's a thing.
Didn't taste like calamari, I'm guessing.
Nope, sure didn't.
Yeah. All right.
It was good, though.
Well, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Hey. XDA reports that back in late June, an XDA recognized developer, Quinny899, or Kieran Quinn of Mighty Quinn Apps, spotted a Play Store feature called Play Pass in the development code.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Okay, so this was not in the publicly released version of Play, but in the development code, there was a reference to some kind of Play Store feature called Play Pass, and it's still there. 9to5 Google looked today and said, yep, we still see it too. This week, Kieran's friends sent a screenshot of a survey they received in Google Opinion Rewards, which asked how well the name Pass described a service that offered hundreds of dollars worth of apps and games for a monthly fee. Now, they didn't mention how much that fee would be. Also, they didn't call it Play Pass, but it was a Google survey. So XDA, you know, puts one and one together and gets two. It sounds like Google is at least investigating the idea of a subscriber option for Google Play. Now, to figure out what that would be, everybody reporting on this story has gone through the same exercise saying, well, a lot of games are free with in-app purchases, so those wouldn't be part of it. It's games are very obviously the biggest thing for a subscription service, so it's probably not just going to be full of productivity software. So the guess is they would have to put together a group of high-level software that's mostly games that you buy once and play forever and offer it as a monthly service, probably with a limited number of apps that you could choose from. You couldn't, you know, just download hundreds of apps, because presumably once you've added it, you get to keep it. It doesn't go away. That's the other part of this that would be unclear until such a thing were to actually launch. I wanted to discuss on the show today, what do you think of the idea of a subscription service? We got so many subscription services for clothing, for food, obviously for movies and TV shows. What about one for apps?
I'll go first. I have mixed feelings about this, because I see what they're doing, and I'm a user of the Xbox Game Pass. I know PlayStation has their, you know, equivalent Game Pass out there. So if you're talking about games, I see where this could be beneficial, but, you know, being on mobile, I don't see how they could do more than $5 a month. You know, there's something like that, and they had high level games that you can play as much as you want. That's cool, but then, you know, like, what if you stop it? You know, does it disconnect? Does the app disappear? You know, what happens? But to answer your question about subscription service, I think it's out of control. You end up, like, I mean, I'm subscribed to Netflix and YouTube TV and now I have the DC service, and I'll have Disney service. I'm like, what happened to good old cable that we all wanted to cut cords from, Tom, thanks to your show? what happened to good old cable? Now we're back spending more with all these subscription services. I don't know.
Well, but I mean, Lamar, you mentioned $5. If it was $5 a month for not unlimited games and apps, but a higher number of apps than you would probably buy otherwise. You know, I liken this to a music subscription service. Sure. That's why $10 a month works for me, because I'm just not going to buy all the stuff. There's right. just no way. So even though, yeah, I don't own it. And yes, if I were to stop my Apple Music subscription, that would go away while I'm still, paying for it. I have so much more access than I would otherwise. I find it to be a really good use of my money. Adobe Creative Cloud is another example of something where I'm like, yeah, I'm actually kind of paying a little bit more than what I need, but that's just the way it goes these days, because that's the subscription model that that Adobe and many other companies have decided will actually get them more money in the long run. It's kind of like leasing a car, right? For people like me, it's like, well, okay, it kind of works out well. At least the sticker shock is minimal per month, even though in the long run, I'm going to be paying more. I think it all depends on what is exactly offered in this? What apps are excluded? If there were a subscription model for this, because a lot of apps are free and a lot of apps are it's going to be like going to Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, you get your 20% off. Well, there's certain things that like aren't actually part of that 20% off, right? Because they're too high.
Right.
I think we need a lot more information before I say whether it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Well, yeah, at this point, we're just saying, well, what would be the subscription service that we'd be willing to pay for? It would have to be something, I think it's PlayStation Plus, that lets you keep the game that you're getting as part of your monthly subscription. You have to choose to download it. So if you don't download it, you don't get to go back and get it later. But once you've downloaded it as part of the subscription, it's yours. So I would think it would have to be like that. Anything I get through Play Pass would have to be mine forever after that. And it would then probably be a rolling number of like limited, like maybe a dozen titles a month that you could choose from. I just don't know that it would be compelling enough for me to do it. I'm not that much of a mobile gamer where I always have to have new titles. I'm sure there are people out there that are, and this would probably work for them. And I can't imagine there would be enough other non-game titles that would really contribute to me getting the most out of my device to make it worthwhile.
So let me ask you this. It might sound a little controversial to the Google people. So excuse me if it does, but the stats are clear. The stats are pretty clear that on average, when it comes to spending money on iOS, it's a greater percentage, even though they sell less phones than Android. Android is huge, but
you're saying that developers still tend to make a little more money off apps on iOS versus Android.
Yeah, they can't seem to get the same amount of people, even with more devices, to spend money.
Don't put it like that.
Google.
That's pretty. It's just the way that it is right now. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That wasn't a criticism. My thing was, are they coming out with this and as a way to try to get those those sales numbers up or discovery?
No,
I'm not saying Android people are cheap. I'm just saying maybe it's just a discovery issue.
If you're not saying it, don't write it. No, but your point is perfectly right on point. I think this is a way for them to help developers make more money out of the Play Store for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the Play Pass, but we want to hear from you. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com.
Thanks also to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on others that are submitted by your peers at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Want to hang out on Facebook? Well, good news, we're there too. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. All right, amateur traveler Chris Christensen is back, and he has a few security tips this time if you're using credit cards for travel.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. News just came out from Hong Kong's air carrier Cathay Pacific that more than 9.4 million Cathay Pacific and Cathay Dragon passengers have been affected by a data breach. Yet another data breach in the news. Now, I don't know what data was stolen, but certainly one of the things I think about is credit cards. And I would challenge you that you don't need to leave your credit card at every website that you use one at, including buying airplane tickets. You're probably not going to need to get access that fast that you couldn't just enter a credit card number again. That might help you, or even better yet, you could use a one-time credit card number that you can get from many banks that can be used just for this purchase. And then even if somebody gets that credit card number, it's of no use to them. So think about that when you're using your credit card online. If only we could protect the websites from being breached in the first place. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
That's good advice, Chris. Thanks for that. Good tips there. Let's check out the mailbag. What do we got in there?
We got a great email from Bruce, who was responding to our discussion on our roundtable last Friday with Nicole Lee and Ashley Esqueda. We were talking about privacy and how do you get people to care about privacy? Do we need laws in place? What do we do? Bruce says, you discussed some ideas around laws that could help protect privacy. And somebody mentioned there's a class of user who just can't be bothered. Beyond that, though, companies actively encourage users to give up their privacy to the point of bribing them. The first time my youngest daughter came to ask me for a Facebook account was because her game promised her gems if she linked it to a Facebook account, which she didn't have. A game that markets itself to, I think, age four plus and over users. So, you know, quite young, who are far too young to understand the implications of that action. Bruce says, for the record, she does not have the Facebook account.
Yeah, no, just to take a step back. Mm-hmm. Marking a game 4+ doesn't mean it's marketed to 4-year-olds. Marking a game 4+ means there is nothing in this game that is going to be a problem for anyone from 4 all the way up. So,
right.
You know, the way he wrote it makes it sound like this game is for 4-year-olds and they want a Facebook account. That's wrong. Well, it may be that the game is actually marketed at a wider range and they're saying, hey, if you log in with your Facebook account, that's fine. Where it gets dicey is giving you extra stuff when you know that your game is played by children because you have approved it for all ages or almost
That's
all
a good
ages.
Point.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Bruce. And thanks also to Lamar Wilson for being with us this fine Monday. Lamar, what's been going on with your world and how can people keep up with it?
Well, you can check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. I do unboxings of all sorts of things. I mentioned earlier that I'll be getting my hands on that OnePlus T sometime this week. They confirmed they're shipping it out. So I'm not one of those cool YouTubers that get it the day of. You know, I'm kind of like the third string, you know, like the Dodgers. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. But
the Farm League of app reviewers.
I write me, don't write the show. Okay, I'm just playing. But yeah, you can check them out on YouTube. There'll be a video coming out today. It's pretty fun. I have a wig on.
Lamar just made a lot of people in Boston very pleased with him. it'll be cool. I'm curious to find out what you think of the 6T.
I am too.
So keep an eye out at youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. And also keep an eye out at patreon.com/DTNS. Last Friday was the second of my editor's desk columns. Talking this time about the Clorox advertising fiasco, if you want to think about it that way. The idea that a thermometer maker was selling aggregated zip code, basically telling Clorox which zip codes had high fevers without passing along actual user information, and whether that's a problem or not. And I talk a lot in these about how the story is reported. So check that out if you're at the $5 level and above at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, we'd love to hear it. Our email address is a great way to do it, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you'd like to join us live, we'd love to have you. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more, tell a friend, dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Apple's announcements and more, and our guest Allison Sheridan. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.